You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Hello, hello, my friends, my cowboy colleagues out there, fans of all Cowboy Nation. And hey, we got Steve. Steve-O, how are you, babe?
Doing wonderful. I'm throwing up the old Des Bryant X for everybody out there that can't see me.
Hey, it's going to be me, Jono, and Steve-O doing the Cowboy Podcast Show. I'm really pumped up about this.
Hey, first time, long time for me,
yeah,
my friend.
No kidding. You know what? I really officially kicked off the Cowboy Show today. This is it. With my partner. And I tell you what, I've been looking for the right partner for this show for a while. I'm glad I found you, babe.
Well, love should have brought you home last night, my friend.
Hey, folks, this Dallas Cowboys show, I tell you, I'm really pumped up about it because, you know, all the times we kick back, we enjoy a good Cowboy game, and there's a lot of frustration watching a Cowboy game. And now I said, I'm going to take you down with me, Steve. Yeah, misery likes company, I guess.
Hey, 20 years of it right now.
20 years. God damn.
I know. It's been terrible.
Well, in any case, hopefully we're going to have something new this year. Maybe a Super Bowl, maybe deep playoff, whatever it is. I hope you guys are in tune with the show. I hope you guys really like it because I think we're going to bring it to you. What'd you think of this last preseason game, Steve?
Well, going against my former employer, the Rams there, I did a little sideline work for them for the last 17
Holy shit,
years.
You worked for the Rams?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Rams, and you were a big Cowboy fan.
Huge Cowboy fan from the time I was five.
Please, you got to tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it's
conflict of interest, you might say.
Conflict of interest. Well, it might take my man card away on how this all happened, but
big deal.
Back when I was young, I'm talking like 3, 4, 5, I had a cowboy and Indian infatuation.
Uh-huh.
And my dad came home from work one day, and he had a poster of all the NFL helmets on it.
Right.
And he says, son, I think he's wanting me to get more into sports, get a little bit out of the Cowboys and Indians. He goes, hey, there's a team on here that's known as the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, which helmet do you think it is? So I spend a couple minutes studying. And lo and behold, I pick out one helmet. It's got to be the Dallas Cowboys. Take a guess on what it was.
The Redskins.
That'd be a good one. No, New England Patriots. The old Minuteman.
Snapping the football. Yeah, with him crouched over ball.
As 5 years old, he looked like a Dallas Cowboy guy to me.
Right.
So
yeah.
My dad.
I mean, how would you know that was a Patriot, a colonist, or whatever? Yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
To me, all the same time period.
Right.
So my dad points me in the right direction, shows me the star on the helmet. I've been in love with them ever since. So my earliest recollection of sports, two things. The 1980 Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow, that's something big.
So the gold medal team
there. Yeah, beating the Russians.
And then crying as I watched Dallas lose championship games to the Rams and the Eagles. I mean, just bawling my eyes out. I think I was 7 or 8 at that time.
Well, I tell you what, since you went this route, let me tell you a little bit about my history with the Cowboys. I grew up in New York, and as a little kid, I got to see Tony Dorsett play for Pittsburgh University. And I said, man, this guy is sharp. He had the towel in the front. I mean, Tony D looked like the best. There wasn't anything out of place with this guy. Shoulder pads, everything, perfect on this guy. And I said, wherever this guy goes to the NFL, I'm going to follow because that's how much I like Tony D. I love all the little marks. The Pitt used to have little panther-like on their helmets and
Absolutely.
Stuff. They look really cool. And I said, wherever this guy goes, I'm going. And he went to Dallas, and God damn, he looked good in that star, too. I mean, Tony D was Dallas. I got to say, him and Randy White were Dallas to me. When you seen those two, one on defense, but again, you had so many Dallas Cowboy players. I mean, for me to break it down, those are the two guys that were on my wall all the time, with, of course, Roger Staubach. And I got to see them as my first team when they beat the Denver Broncos as a little kid in the Super Bowl. And, man, Bush Johnson caught that ball. I don't think they would have called that a touchdown now. He dove. Remember that? Yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but you definitely seen the
– not live, but
the,
in
right, the videos replays. Of that. And he dove. He caught it, and he came down, and the ball sat on the ground, and they called it a touchdown. Nowadays, that shit doesn't work. So.
No way it's a catch in this no, in no, not, 2016.
No, nah, and Des can man, they screwed him in Green Bay. But in any case – That was my first Dallas Cowboy experience as Super Bowl champions, and then we came across this dreaded Pittsburgh team that used to always get on my damn nerves, and I tell you, there's been a lot of frustration with Pittsburgh, but we got the final laugh on them and the final number one victory sign when we beat them in, what was it, 95?
Yeah, Super Bowl 30.
Yeah, yeah, so... We've had our ups and downs, but the one time I think I really cried, well, twice, was when one Jackie Smith dropped the ball.
Oh.
Yeah, and by the way, I met Jackie Smith.
You know, so have I, and he will not sign that picture of him dropping that football.
Well, you know what I said. I met him at BB's Blues in St. Louis, at right at that Broadway or something. Right. I don't know. I seen him there, and I walked up to him. I'm kind of shit-faced. I walk up to him. I go, Jackie, I've forgiven you. And the guy goes, what the hell are you talking about? I go, you dropped that ball. Roger threw it right at your chest. And he just pulled his hand back and just looked at me like I'm the Antichrist and just walked away. But you know what? I wanted to land that shot. Because he broke my heart there. And the other play that I think I'll never forget was that Montana. And I still look at that, and I'm like, I think it was Dede Lewis or Bob Brunick or it was Ed Jones. They just, I'm like, no, don't jump yet. Now jump. And it was like, he just threw it. He wanted to throw that out of bounds. And now he's doing Papa John commercials, for the love of God. You wanted to throw that ball out of bounds. And Dwight Clark caught it.
Amazing.
Yeah, the catch. The catch. And no one talks about Danny White drove the team past the 50. We almost pulled that one off, too. But in any case, we're here, and we've acquired some Super Bowls past then. And or from that point on. So, you know what? We've had a nice run, but it's time to get something going again. What do you think about this new Cowboy team now?
Well, I mean, you know, when you go through 20 years like we've gone through, you know, it all starts with the draft. So you can't win a Super Bowl with the first-round draft pick, but you can sure lose one for several years or not even make it to the playoffs by missing on a draft. I really like Ezekiel Elliott. I like that pick, you know, best player
available.
You like
that play? I do. At first I didn't, and in my first podcast show I kind of – got on to big time because I wanted that Florida State kid. I really think our DBs are horrible. Okay, go on.
You got a lot of to correct in the defense, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like taking the best overall player at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to hit on your second-round pick. You got to be lucky somewhere between 3 and 7. You got to find a diamond in the rough somewhere. And I think we saw a couple guys come out on the first preseason game and make a splash. Some of them got time in the first half. Some of them didn't, you know, had to wait till second half. You know, it's hard watching preseason games, that's for sure. I mean, I've sat through years upon years of watching it. It's a bad product out there, but it's a necessary product.
What time limit do you give on the first half or first quarter or first 3-4 plays of the preseason and say, okay, that's what the team wanted to see and now – we're pulling the plug on it.
I think you can't even look at the first and second preseason game. Not at all. You get into the third preseason game, I think you can look at probably like the first quarter, maybe an additional series or two after that, and then you throw out the fourth one. I mean, remember, we're looking for in preseason, you know, there's out of the 53 spots, there's probably already 43 of them guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for 10 guys. So, you know, I don't know how many players are carrying at the time of the first preseason game, but you're looking for those 10 guys to fill out your roster.
Right.
So guys that are going to be special team guys, you know, guys that might be a little bit more injury prone, guys that we can groom, you know, guys that you got to hide on your roster so the other team doesn't pick them up from your practice squad. So I really don't give a whole lot of weight into preseason, but it's back. Football's back, and you got to watch it.
And you had the I don't know if you questioned it or you looked at it in a different way, is the Cowboys wideouts were the starters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's strange, because usually they say, you know what, you guys aren't in, especially the first game, a preseason game. You're not going to risk anything. But the Cowboys played them. They played Terrence Williams, and they played Dez. They both had great games.
Right. Well, you got to look at it. Who they want to match him up with? Prescott, right?
Right.
Had an awesome game. Right.
Very good call.
Came out, great showing. But I think what they're looking at from that standpoint is Romo's injury prone. So let's go ahead and use the first couple of series, get Dez and Terrence in there.
Good idea.
Get them a couple of balls to them, and make sure that their timing, the reps that they've taken in practice with Dak is going to go ahead and carry over to game situation.
And Prescott, from the stats, 10 for 12, and he only missed two, and those hit the guy, and they dropped the ball. So he could have went 12 for 12, 139 yards, 11 yards per average on a pass, and two touchdowns.
Look at a passer rating, 154.5.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That last throw to Terrence was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
I mean, he just put that right over the dish, man. It was perfect.
Well, we know that their passing game's going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's going to be a given. I mean, obviously, your X factor is going to be Ezekiel Elliott running behind that big, strong offensive line to see what they can do. I think they're going to go back to old-school football, and they're going to use the run, set up that pass, and it's going to be exciting to watch it and see what Elliott can do. I think last year they had a pretty good yards per carry average, maybe 4.6 out of McFadden. Is that right?
I wasn't impressed, Steve-O, on the whole thing on the third down and less than a yard or something like that. They were one of the worst in the NFL, and I'm like, you got this big line. You guys can't move a goddamn 2 yards. That's all I need. And they weren't doing it.
No.
I think they were ranked in the bottom. And I'm getting really tired of this whole thing with how good they are. They got to perform this year. And you know what? It was them that caused the Romo injury anyway against the Eagles in the second game. Folks, if you're that good, you got to keep the guys off your QB, and you got to dig in that offensive huddle, and you got to say, hey, we need 1 yard for a first down. Let's dig in right here, less than a yard, and they weren't performing.
Well, that goes back to your Emmett Smith days with that big offensive line, and you knew what was coming. You get into a third and short, and here comes a ball to Emmett and the big line and the Moose leading the way through
right.
it. And that's where the success is going to be. And when they can establish that at any given time they can get that yard and a half to 2 yards, that's going to open up that throwing lane for Romo to really do some damage down the field.
You brought up an interesting view on this. We don't have the Moose anymore. I mean, we don't have any fullback. Is the fullback out of the scene now? Or what? I mean, it's not used like we used to use it.
No, it's going to be cyclical, much like everything in life. You're going to 3 years ago, the running back wasn't used, and you're starting to see a reemergence of that play, which is why Dallas takes Elliott in the first round. So it will come back around, you know, as offenses changes and defenses changes to catch up with what the offense is doing. What goes around comes around.
I definitely think that we didn't have a running back last year that could attack the outside like DeMarco did the year before. I mean, once you got around that tackle, I mean, DeMarco got 5, 6, 7 yards. He wasn't going to outrun the DB. I mean, he's not that fast or anything like that. But he definitely gave you the 7, 8 yards that you needed to go down the field. And now maybe this Elliott kid, he can give us that.
Yeah, that's your whole game plan. if you think about football, you know, you started off at the 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the point where you're trying to get a chunk on first down. And I think Elliott can do that for you. He can turn the corner and he can get your 5 and 6, 8 yards, 9 yards, maybe even break one. That sets up your play action on second and short. Because you know if you miss it, you can come back on third and short, and your running back can get you that 2 yards that you need.
Exactly.
And that's how, you know, that's how football's won, and it's time of possession, and you got to have that. So if they can get time of possession, keep their defense, which I think we agree on is the weakest point of their game, if they can keep their defense rested and off the field, control the clock.
That's a key thing, control the clock, and it always seems to work against us in the late fourth quarter when they've scored against us, now they're breathing right on our back, and we need that first down, we need that clock on our side, and it never ends up being. I hope to God with this guy here we can get that extra 2 minutes. And you know what, time management has become a big factor for the Cowboys, too. I've seen it so many times now, Jason calling a timeout or something where we shouldn't be calling timeouts, you know? And it gets frustrating because you could throw a message in a bottle and throw it before the game, and then you open that message, and it's the same script all over again from the game before. If you're a Cowboy fan, you guys know what we're talking about. Like, every time we're deep in our end zone, not in our end zone, but maybe in our 5, 10, 15 yard, you could see a predictable place every time, and then when it becomes third down and long, they're not dropping Romo back for a pass. It's always a screen or it's always a draw, and then let's get out of it, let's punt it away. And folks, we're punting. They're going to get the ball back on our 45. So what are we doing? What are we making a statement? Here we go again with our defense trying to hold them to only 3 points.
Right, and not to sound like a football coach, but you start saying those same type of things, which are football 101, field possession, time of possession, you know, eliminate stupid penalties, eliminate useless timeouts because you couldn't get the play in time. You know, those sorts of things have added up over these years that just, I mean, makes you turn gray. You know, right. Makes you look old because you're sitting there loving the Cowboys. You know, you live and die with them. And if you're any sort of fan, which, you know, most of the Cowboy fans are diehards out there, live and die with those plays. And over the last 20 years, you can just see it, like you said, time in, time out.
You just know what's going to happen. It's frightening knowing that, too.
Yeah.
It really is. What do you think about this big contract that Travis Frederick got? He got over 50 mil, I think 56 mil, and he's the highest paid center. Should you now get that 1 yard that you're supposed to get?
You know what, contracts, you don't pay too much attention to them. I don't think. I think that's what the market bears. I mean, they're dealing with an ungodly amount of money out there that they have to give away. So, you know, you find the best guy out there and you pay him enough that they can't afford to leave, and you hope he pans out, which is the problem with football.
But he doesn't – Jerry, we'll get to Jerry in a minute, but Jerry doesn't seem to care too much about paying for his defense. If you want a little extra green – hey, you're going to walk. We're going to lose you to the Giants, or we're going to lose you to another NFC team or AFC team. But he's not willing to go in his pocketbook for his defenseman.
Well, there's only been a handful of teams in NFL history that is AIS, ass in seats with a defense. All right?
right.
Point blank, offense sells tickets. You know?
I got you. I definitely understand that. But, man, growing up as a Cowboy fan, we had the doomsday defense and our DBs. I remember the Cliff Harrises, the Benny Barnes, the Charlie Waters. These guys were the guys that were like, I couldn't wait for my defense to get on the field. Now it's a whole different story. It's like I'm biting my fingernails every time my defense is out there. Please don't give up anything. So, you know, and it always seems like we hold them till the third down, and then here we go, a pass to one of our corners or a holding on Claiborne or something like that, and boom, they're driving the ball again.
And that's the frustration. Marinelli, the DC, defensive coordinator there, I mean, he's amazing, very, very aggressive. And then, you know, I'm sitting there watching a game, and it gets to be third and eight, and you're thinking, well, shit, they're going to do a screen. They're gonna run a draw. And, you know, it's a seven-step drop and a 12-yard completion. You're like, what in the hell happened? Where was the blitz? How can the guy get there on first and second down, and he's not even close on third down? Right. I don't care what defensive end you got in there. So that's the frustrating thing that I see is – and that's where we got to turn it. You know, you got to do something at that point to get off the field, get your defense off the field. And who's going to make that special play week in and week out? And that's yet to be seen. And I don't think you're going to be able to tell that from the first couple of preseason games.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. But you know what? I have to grade. I'm going to grade our team on what I've seen in this preseason. And I'm going to say we had a B+. I liked our defense. Second half, I could throw that completely out the door. That doesn't mean a thing to me. But going into halftime, I think we had a 24-3 lead. We're bouncing that L.A. Ram team around like they didn't even belong on the field with us. And you know what was really cool is Prescott, SEC, big pedigree, showed it. Showed it what the big conference is all about. Then we had that Goff, Jared Goff?
Jared Goff.
I mean, you're picked number one, son, and you're getting bounced around. You know why? Because you played the Fresnos and you played the whatever teams are out there. You guys do that all the time out there, but the SEC brings it to you, man. That's how Prescott was.
Hey, going back to that grade, how about a little conspiracy theory?
Talk to me.
All right. Let's break it down here. 24-3 at half, is that what we said?
Yeah.
They lose 28-24. You throw the second half out. Me as a conspiracy theory, a St. Louisan,
right,
says that the NFL had to give L.A. something to cheer for.
Oh, very good.
Lay down, Jerry
Jones.
Lay down. Just lay back and let it happen.
Oh, by the way, Jerry, we're nominating you for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. A lot of people.
I guess it all works out, doesn't it?
Hey, it's on the field and off the field for Jerry Jones. He does it all, right? He's a team player.
And that just came out today,
just
didn't
came
it?
Out.
That he's been nominated to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's a finalist this year.
Finalist. Wow.
So what do you think? He buys the team, all right?
And, God, we wanted to lynch him.
And all of a sudden, yeah, well, you get rid of the old man, you get rid of Landry.
I know, your first move.
And,
I know.
Yeah, that's not a way to endear yourself to the Cowboy fans.
No, that was like Field Marshal Ramo.
Exactly.
You just got rid of him, man.
But you bring in your old friend, Jimmy Johnson, which let me give a plug to you. I don't know if you've ever read this book. I'll bring it in to you. It's called Hellbent.
All right? Never read it.
Skip Bayless writes it, I believe.
Okay.
But it is so intertwined with Switzer, Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, and there's one other guy involved in there that was like a personnel guy. But you would not believe that how much their lives were intertwined.
In Arkansas. Yeah.
And then into Oklahoma, into the oil, and all this stuff.
Right.
Great book. I'll bring it in for you.
Jimmy was the least of the wealth out of that group, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that was the rub, right?
Yeah. Just imagine if Jimmy was maybe around for a couple more years after that. And to the legends of the Cowboy fans, it's kind of like the Elvis Presley, he's still alive or whatever. We kind of still think maybe Jimmy can come back to Dallas. Maybe they could work it out. Maybe something. But, you know, we know it's never going to happen. But, God damn, did we have a run with those two.
It was the greatest time.
It was the greatest.
Unbelievable. Because you were actually closing the deal. I know they had the late 70s, early 80s run where they were making to the NFC Championship game, but they couldn't close the deal. They couldn't get over the hump. And then all of a sudden you get into the early 90s, and it's, I mean, not just beating teams, but beating them down.
I know.
And they had the three-headed monster, and, you know, the Hall of Famers. And that's, you know, that's what we all live in, that Cowboy lore.
You're definitely right about that. And to me, that era could have been an era that you could put right now. You could put that Cowboy team right now. If you assemble that 90s team right now, they would still be ass-kicking the way they did in the mid-90s as well.
All great dudes, too. I got to meet each one of them.
Did you really?
The three-headed monster. Aikman and Emmett and Michael Irvin.
Really?
Awesome guys.
Really? Michael was cool, too?
Michael was my favorite.
Was he really?
Yeah. We sat there on the sidelines down at the Dome in St. Louis and at a halftime.
You know what? I interrupted you on that. Give us the story about you. You worked for the Rams.
Yeah. So back when Instant Replay came in, I had a friend that worked for the Rams. He was a head of video there, and he called me up. I think it was a Thursday night game. He called me up like Tuesday night, and he said, "Hey, I need some help doing something down at the Dome during the game. Would you mind coming down and helping out? If you know, is that something you'd like to do?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll come down there." And walk in, and he sets me up with the Instant Replay on the field. So there's two guys, two different booths and everything, and explain what we are going to do. There's a funny story with almost getting fired from a volunteer gig the first night.
We'll get to that later. I got to hear it.
But I got a lot of great stories from that. So for the next, 17 years, I was on the sideline of every Rams home game at the Edward Jones Dome.
Now, and a lot of times our Cowboys came in.
And if you remember,
how are you then?
I mean, this is from, that's a tough one. So you're cheering for your boys, but you're also cheering for the Rams. You got to not only pull for the home team, but pull for the employer as well.
Right.
But hey, Cowboy at heart, through and through. I showed you pictures of a trip down to Dallas where. We had to wear the Cowboy jerseys on the field.
You had to wear the Rams, and then you turned around and wore the Cowboy jersey.
Yeah, once we got in and on the field.
Oh, God bless them. So, what did you think of that stadium?
It's, if you take your nicest hotel, it's not a stadium. It's not a stadium. Nicest hotel that you've ever been in.
Right.
Walking through the lobby, and that's what it's like. It's clean. It really it's immaculate. Is. And it's not... jerseys all over the place. It's like artwork.
It's artwork. You're right.
And to get down there and see it, it's massive. What do they call it? The eighth wonder of the world?
It might be.
But that goes back to, Jerry Jones being nominated. I was just listening on the radio. They're St. Louis media kind of, well, what's this guy done? He won three Super Bowls because, Jimmy Johnson was there and brought them all in. What's he done over the last 20 years? He doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer. Now, granted, we're a little bitter here in St. Louis for Jerry's participation in moving the Rams from St. Louis to L.A. But without Jerry Jones, do you have any mega stadiums? FedEx Field? Do you have Gillette Stadium? Do you have the new one they're going to build out there in L.A.? He built a billion-dollar stadium and paved the way for this is the
this
new
is what
standard.
You have to have, yeah.
Right. Without him, everybody's playing in an Edward Jones Dome. Which is the most sterile environment that you would ever be in. It was, I would say, almost miserable being down there as a fan for 17 years.
Yeah.
A lot of that was the product, but the stadium.
No, you're right, because every time the Cowboys came in town, I'd have to go to the stadium, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is just lame. It's just your tight seats. It just didn't look lively at all.
It wasn't. It felt dark.
Right. Yeah, dark.
It felt, like I said, sterile.
You're waiting for Ozzy Osbourne to come out at halftime.
Yeah, it might be two rows behind you, a 74-year-old lady reading a book. Right. And every time you would stand up to cheer, sit down.
You're right, man.
Luckily, I was on the sideline, so I didn't have to pay too much attention to the field like that.
Well, going back to our Cowboys, though, I definitely think that this is going to be a great show for us. We're going to be doing, hopefully, hey, Brian, are we going to be doing some sort of a Cowboy during the game type of thing to where we're going to be live streaming? We're going to have the fans involved in it, too. They're going to be letting us know what they think about it. I think it'll be pretty damn fun.
Yeah, hopefully we get some guys on there to know a little football. I mean, we're fans. We're coming from a fan perspective, as what the layman looks like. And, we get some guys talking about A-gaps and things like that. Might be a little bit more exciting for us.
But I tell you what, though, to just cross up on that, I'm sick and tired of the guys talking A, and it never works out like they're talking. Like during a Cowboy game, I hate the announcers. And I always look at Troy Aikman. I'm always like – stop rooting against our Cowboys. On every call, he'll be like, I think we got to have a look at that. I'm like, don't bring anything up, man. Just let it go. He doesn't want to get in that old Homer type of I mean, do you notice it too, Steve? He makes it a lot like I'm not a Cowboy, and I never was a Cowboy during the game that he does.
So watch this one. You'll love this story. I'm full of stories. So I told you earlier we went down to Dallas for the Dallas Rams game, and the Cardinal baseball team, St. Louis Cardinal baseball team, was playing the Texas Rangers in the World Series. So we go down there. I mean, it's an unbelievable game. Pujols hits three bombs. We're out at the Ritz-Carlton downtown Dallas afterwards, and who walks in? Joe Buck. This is the Joe Buck theory.
So Joe Buck walks in. All right.
Yeah, so as a Cardinal fan, we say the same thing. Joe Buck, who's born and raised in St. Louis, his dad was the best announcer in baseball, arguably, for those guys out there like Harry Carey and Vin Scully and some of the others.
I like Vin Scully, too.
But so I go up to him, and I said, man, Joe, what'd you think of that game? It was awesome today. And he looked at me, and he said something, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. And I go, what do you mean it doesn't matter to you? Don't you want to see the Cardinals win? He goes, I could care less.
You're kidding.
And I said, your old man's probably rolling over in his grave right now.
Did you say that?
Swear to God.
What did he say?
He just looked at me. I turned away, walked away. I mean, are you kidding me? So, Troy Aikman, don't be an announcer. Give me a little bit of Homer. All right? Give me a little bit of something. I like to see that passion.
Right.
Out of my
announcers. And maybe Joe talked him into doing this.
It's the Joe Buck effect.
Right. Yeah. I could care less. What do you mean you care less? Yeah, your dad bled Cardinal, man.
He absolutely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's what I get with Troy Aikman's games all the time now. So, in any case, guys, you can follow us on the lineupmedia.fm. We've got some great other shows. Brian, what shows can we give a little plug to on this Cowboy podcast show?
How about we do Not So Fast?
Not So Fast. That's a great show. That's a great show. They talk about sports. They talk about other stuff, too, everything that's going on, the funny world of whatever's happening. Yep. These guys are good.
You can find them at notsofastpodcast.com.
And
on Facebook and Twitter and all of that fun stuff.
So that's Not So Fast.
Podcast.com.
And you got a show too, Brian.
That I do. It's called Follow the Sound. You can find it at followthesoundpodcast.com. I review albums from all across the world in different eras and just generally have a blast going through them and showcasing the talents of the different musicians.
What do you listen to, Steve?
Everything.
Everything. Well, that's what he does.
He's got after my own heart.
Yeah. That's what he promotes, everything.
Yeah.
So that's at lineupmedia.fm, my friends, all these great shows. We got, 38 other shows, 40 shows? I don't know. It's growing every day. So whatever you guys like, it's on lineupmedia.fm. And this one was Not So Fast. And your Sounds of whatever, that great show. Follow the Sounds. That's it.
I'll fix that.
Yeah, you fix that. You fix that.
What's the name of this one?
This one's called CowboyPodcast.com. It's CowboysPodcast.com. And you know what? We want our people to be emailing us, letting us know what they think. And you know what? We're open for any input, too.
Absolutely.
Anything that's going on. And this Friday, we are taking on the Dolphins. And do you expect to see the same thing? Do you expect the first half type of play? Or what's the deal with our Cowboys in this one?
Yeah, I think we're going to dial it up just a little bit more. We'll probably see a couple more starters in there for a series, maybe two. And then I think we'll see a lot more of what we saw in week one. And then really kind of gearing up for the next week of practice before we hit week three, which is going to be the showcase of what we will term vanilla offense and vanilla defense before we get ready for the season after week four of the preseason.
What do you think about our regular season? Do we open up with the Giants again? Let me check that out. Cowboy schedule. I think it always seems like we're opening up with the September 11th we open up against the Giants.
Now this is a tradition in football talk, right? We got to look at the schedule,
right?
And we got to go win loss win loss win 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 win. Loss, so let's go through. Let's do our predictions here. Do we got somebody to write these things down?
Well, I got it right here. All right. Here. All right. This is going to be like the Cowboys. All right, first game, we're against the Giants. I think Manning, I don't like him anymore. I just don't think that every time they put pressure on this guy, he just can't come through. I like our Cowboys in a 35-24 type of game.
At home.
At home.
I like that. I like the Cowboys. I know that we got a gift last year when I think they had the time management issue on a bunch of games, the G-men did. So, but yeah, I think we're going to have some of these as a shootout. And I think if we can get up early, we can let our defense and pin their ears back, get after Manning.
Well, give it to me, Steve. We got a whole schedule here.
Oh, man, 16 games still this year?
I think I think we just give a quick well, you know what? Let's save that for after
Cowboys
the preseason.
Cowboys win. I'm going to go 31. I'm going to go 28. I think they're going to come back.
31-28.
Cowboys win.
28. That's our close season game. Opener. I tell you what, let's hold off on that. Let's do that after the last preseason game when we're getting closer to September 11. And, you know, we got to have something out there for our fans, too. If they could give us a correct schedule, wins and losses, maybe we could give a little shout-out to them, maybe send them a 8x10 pick of some player that they like in the Cowboy organization, maybe sign. Hell, we could find it anywhere. So maybe you guys get involved in our show, cowboyspodcast.com. We love you guys out there. We're hearing already you guys are really trying to get involved on the Twitter and all that. I mean, these guys are really loving our show, and we have this is our first really official show.
First one.
So, what do you think about this weekend? This Friday, then we win, we lose, or you even care?
I really don't care. I mean, I can't tell you how many teams have gone 0-4 in the preseason and had playoff runs, and how many teams go 4-0 in the preseason and absolutely shit the bed during the season. So, take that record and throw it out. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a little Romo. I'd like to see a little Elliott. I don't know if we're going to see Elliott at all this week. I think he's still nursing a little bit of a muscle strain.
Has Romo physically gotten better?
We'll have to check that out.
I mean, is he ready to play for the second game preseason, or are they still going to hold him back? I don't know.
I think you got to get a couple reps in. Okay,
series
or two in, and then let
Prescott
take it over.
Is really, I mean, the kid's really playing like. And the thing that I was saying was the way he's dropping back, he's acting like a veteran again, folks. Like Steve-O said, this is the first preseason game, and let's not shoot our wad yet. But I'm telling you right now, the kid looked good. The kid looked good. Looked solid in there.
The poise of a veteran.
The poise of a veteran. Well, you can't beat that. That's a big time compliment right there.
Who do we sound like right now? We sound like Cleveland Indians fans, you know, the hopeful.
I know. Out in the bleacher section,
yeah,
with
exactly.
The guy beating on the drums.
Too high. What do you mean too high?
Jesus Christ. But I'd like to get something back, man. I'm sick and tired of this NFC East. They're not that strong.
No.
They're not that strong. The NFC East, you got aging teams. The Giants don't look good. I think the Redskins, who the hell are the Redskins? I mean, honestly, God, if they're going to be our biggest threat, that division's wide open then. And
absolutely.
We're ready to reclaim it. Once Roman went down, everything went to hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that is our division.
And that's why he's so important to keep him upright, keep him healthy.
And that belongs to the faith of our offensive line. They got to hold, they got to do their job, and they got to – and it seems like our problem every time on that offensive line is when they start throwing blitzes. And defenses know when they throw blitzes, Tony doesn't react too well on this. And I don't think a lot of QBs do, but – one game in particular I remember against the Rams, these guys blitzed him, and he broke right through and then threw a 20, 30-yard down the middle. But it's asking a lot. It's asking a lot.
Yeah, well, that's,
if you're depending on that every game from Romo, forget about it. I'm just worried about his health.
His greatest asset becomes his Achilles heel. Okay, he's a playmaker. He's the old Brett Favre gunslinger. You know, he gets out there, and he – make shit happen, right?
Right.
When a play breaks down, he's the most dangerous then.
Right.
But that being his greatest asset, he's fragile too.
That's his downfall.
And he gets hit and he's out. And that's pick your poison there. Would you rather him throw it away or would you rather him try to make the play? To me, let's make the play and see what happens. But
you're right.
Then what happens is you go 1-11 when he's out.
You're right. You're so right about that. Well, we can only cross our fingers. And, hey, folks, stay tuned. We got a great shows coming up. We're going to try to do two shows, one during the week and one during the game time. And I think we'll have something great, man. I can't wait for this season.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was good. Our first show was pretty good, wasn't it?
Not too bad. You know, all right. Like I said, first time in the booth here with you.
There you go. There you go. Boom. There we got a first down. But in any case, guys, stay tuned to Jono and Steve-O. We'll be back at you maybe next week. Next week we'll do it again, same time, and we'll talk about the Miami Dolphin game. How's that?
Sounds perfect to me, brother.
All right. Talk to you, folks. Stay tuned for the Cowboy Podcast Show coming at you next week.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets.